I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Marta Georg Kessler. Welcome, Marta.
Hello, nice to be here. It's very exciting.
Well, before long, Marta, you are going to be in Perth, Western Australia, at the premiere of your latest documentary movie called Meeting the Buddha. Am I right?
Yes, I'm looking forward. It's amazing that we got there and the film is shipping so far away from Europe.
Well, there'll be no shortage of interest in Australia and in Western Australia. In fact, I think a lot of people understand that there's quite a significant number of Buddhists in Australia these days, and Perth has a large Bhutanese community as well. Lots of people here, students, people who are on skilled working visas and who've become permanent residents. So it's a fascinating multicultural society in Australia, particularly in Perth and around Fremantle, where the Fremantle Shipping News is based. But more to the point, Marta, can you start to tell our listening audience, if they go to this movie, and I'm sure they'll want to once they've heard you, what they're going to see, what they're going to have presented to them, what the purpose of your movie is?
Oh, wow. Being a Buddhist practitioner, to answer this question is a tricky thing because, as we know, the less expectation one has, the better it is. No, joking, half joking. Yeah.
It's yes, I like going to movies where I don't have any expectation, and you then get pleasantly surprised, you hope.
Exactly. So clearly, if somebody is interested anyhow a little bit in Buddhism or general Tibetan Buddhism, and also in history, not big time, it's not a history about facts. I would say a little bit to get a glimpse of how Tibetan Buddhism, particularly this Karmakagyu lineage from Tibet, how it came across the world and how it spread this teaching. It's an interesting story to see, a lot of background to understand what it means, what is one hand it's a painful, let's say, tragical story because of the Chinese invasion. Many Tibetans had to leave their country. But without that, it wouldn't be possible that today so many people practice Buddhism because of this reason. Many realized masters who were practicing in the Himalayas and for many hundreds of years holding this tradition, they left the country. And they arrived to Bhutan, they arrived to Nepal and India. And this is how they met the Westerner hippie generation. Some of the hippie generation who were also very open-minded. It was a new era in the Western society, and people were looking for other values than material achievement, and they were looking for something. And this is how it happened, this meeting. And this is a story which shows, actually, I think and I hope, some things beyond of this dualistic thinking of bad and good and this is tragic, to see that many things happen for sometimes for a reason and have some outcome which would not expect.
Well, it's a documentary film, isn't it? Which is an important point to make. It's not fiction. It's in fact fact.
Yes, it's a documentary. Yeah,
And
it's a documentary. Sorry.
who are the key protagonists, if we can put it that way, in the documentary?
Yeah.
Who the viewer is going to meet?
Yeah, so it's a documentary, and of course we all look for a protagonist. We have many protagonists. But the main protagonist is, of course, the leader. This is the 16 Yava Karmapa. This is the great Karmapa of our times. He was also called like a living Buddha. He was called like the king of the yogis in Tibet. He was like a realized, amazing person. And that's also where the story starts in 1924, where he was born in Tibet. And he left Tibet because of the reason I was talking about. And then he met one of the first Western students, is Slamoulu Nidal. This is the other protagonist, a Danish, part of the Danish hippie beat slash hippie generation, wild guy with his wife Hannah Nidal. And they were looking for the truth. They were not looking for a teacher, absolutely not, because they knew it. And then this unexpected meeting with the 16 Karmapa did something in their life where they decided, wow, then we want to know and we want to learn. And they just went to Sikkim and started to learn from him and meditate. So these, the protagonists are, I would say, this is the great 16 Karmapa and Ulen Nidal, but we have also parallel stories to this, other Tibetan Lama stories. We get a glimpse into that because they are connected. This is connected how this lineage, how this transmission actually somehow worked together, arrived to the West, around the world, and how the vision of the 16 Karmapa actually from deep Tibet reached all around the world, many people.
Many Australians know, because he's probably the most famous Buddhist in the world, the Dalai Lama, who's visited Australia. But here we're talking about a leader, the Karmapa. How does Tibetan Buddhism, if it has any sort of hierarchical structure, work? Are there different strands, and how does it find its way around the world?
Isn't it funny that if we talk about Buddha's teaching, we immediately looking for hierarchical structure?
I
Just
know.
saying.
I said it deliberately.
I know. So, well, actually, this is we are talking. I mean, I'm talking about Tibetan Buddhism so far. So this is a living transmission, authentic transmission lineages. So it means it's the essence of it is the practice and the teacher-student relationship, which is also main essence of our film, by the way. So it means that this authentic living transmission since Buddha's time with all teachings and methods which were given from teacher to student, from one generation to the other. And this is actually what created four main lineages also in Tibetan Buddhism. The hierarchy is not really existing, but what counts clearly, the master, the realization that, let's say, hard work, the meditation of the people who make sure that this experience they can pass on to some students who carry on. And this is how we are talking about four lineages, major lineages. There are also minor ones. And these four are the first one is the oldest one is the Nyingma lineage, which is it was actually somehow also started by Guru Rinpoche in the 8th century. Then the Kammakaji lineage, which is ours, whose leader is the Kamapa, who was actually the first conscious incarnated Lama in Tibet, which is how it started this kind of, let's say, system that the conscious incarnation means that the Lama, the Kamapa, before he passed away, he very practically gave some hints where I'm gonna be reborn just to make it easier that the transmission can go on.
Yes.
And it's handy, isn't it? And the third one is this Gelugpa lineage. This is where the Dalai Lama is part of, and the fourth one is the Sakya lineage. So we have four major lineages, and the Dalai Lama is actually also. So he was a leader, but also political leader in Tibet. So that's why he's very well known, which is obvious, and especially given the circumstances after the invasion, and many Tibetan had to escape, and the exile government was starting in India. So Dalai Lama became a very well-known political figure as well in the West. Yeah. But actually, not bad, but this is how it is. We are talking about many high realized lamas who are also, in terms of realization, actually, yeah, this is the same rank, or yeah, we are not talking about hierarchy in these terms. So
So,
they were, sorry, just,
I was
yeah.
going to say, if you go along as a Buddhist practitioner, you'll listen and partake of the movie in a different way from someone like me, who only has some general appreciation of the tenets of Buddhism, and I'll experience it in a different way again. Is that the way the movie will work? Will it have those different impacts, different appreciations for the audience?
Well, I don't know to define the movie. I always like not so like to be in boxes. This is
No, I
all
get that.
characteristic, but clearly we were sticking with the Kammakaji lineage. That's the thing. It's a big story enough, you see. So we are talking about the Kamapa and the Kaju lineage and the protagonists of Lama Ule and Hana, and from this perspective. And we are following the story of some of the Kammakaji lamas because, as I said, it's just It's you could make a film series about everything. It's a big topic. So we are talking mainly about the Kamakaju lamas here and this lineage. Was this the question? I'm not sure.
I'm fascinated by the way you've made the movie as well. It's you've got archival footage. Do I read something about animation and putting it all together to tell a historical as well as a present transmission story must have been a challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge. I mean, storytelling is a big challenge and piece of art, and you know, but you if you have a story, when you research for a documentary, particularly, you research and you decided, okay, this is somehow the story you want to tell, you would like to share, then the question is, how can you make the storytelling really in a way that the audience is also touched? It's not only about facts, yeah, like talking heads and this happened and that happened and they went there and they did this. Is, I mean, it's very boring. It's about to give a glimpse of the emotional journey also, that to be part of it. And that's why I decided to have the animation. This is a new tool. We also actually one can find in other documentaries as well, where one has no footage, one has no picture, but to just to tell this intimate situation, either it's a meeting, a relationship, or giving a background hint, how was in Tibet life, just to get a little glimpse of it. And I want to say that the animation is, it's, I hope everyone likes it, but it's not about creativity. We did a big, huge research and getting feedback from Tibetan lamas to make sure that as much as possible is accurate, which is important as a documentary.
Marta, I understand you started out your creative life as an actor, and now you found your way into being a director of docos. How did that all happen?
Yeah, I mean, the actor part was short. I decided the show business is still not mine. But, well, for many reasons, one can guess. Actually, my first film, it was about Hannah. It was the wife of Ole Nydahl, who was also, he was a great woman, a very inspiring woman. She was also I mean, as Lamoule and Hannah, they are my teachers. But also because she was a very inspiring woman, and I, after she passed away, many asked how she was, where she was, and I decided to make a film, which was quite a jump in a cold water. And this is how everything developed, and this is how I became a kind of filmmaker. And surely, it's if you are once on the creative path, I would say it's simple way. It's just, you know, I'm sure it helps, and some background, and to go on this water, staying with the shipping. Yeah, so it's yeah, this is how it happened. So it actually happened and developed by itself, also maybe unexpected, which is sometimes helpful, because if one plans too many things, you know, it doesn't go in that way. Or if I knew how hard work is it, the filmmaking, I'm not sure if I would have done it, you know, you never know. But I'm happy now afterwards, of course, about it.
That first documentary was titled, I think, Hannah, Buddhism's Untold Journey. And here we are now meeting the Buddha. And it's made last year and it's been doing some of the rounds in North America and other places. It's been winning awards. It's won 13 international awards at jury-only screenings already, including four awards of excellence from the Indie Fest Film Awards, the Impact Docs Award, and Docs Without Borders. You must be excited to get this critical reaction.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's I must say I'm glad that the industry appreciates. It's everyone who is involved in filmmaking knows it's a very, very hard work, and it's a very competitive industry. It's a independent filmmaking, it's a different world, and I think everyone is fighting to keep it alive. And I'm really appreciating, and I'm really, really thankful for the jury of these film festivals that giving this appreciation and feedback. It really helps. It really helps a lot, because it's all about to give, you know, to give this story to share with the world. And if people are touched or moved with it, it's fantastic. And of course, getting an appreciation from the industry and the ones who know, and they are mostly people who really want to support filmmakers, independent filmmakers. It's not about the famous people and the blockbusters, you know. It's not about Hollywood, and it's an amazing thing. So of course it's also, it was unexpected, I must say. You don't expect this. It's
So what were or was some of the feedback that you got from those jury awards? What were they experiencing?
Of course, sometimes you just get that you got the award. Congratulations. This is good. This is not bad. But got also beautiful emails. And one needs to say, these film festivals, sometimes they get, like, there was one film festival where they said, you know, we got 7,000 films applied. When people have no idea, 7,000 films for one film festival. So we chose 900 films, which we would love to screen. But we can screen only 150. So unfortunately, we couldn't do yours, but you need to know your film, and the message of the film is extremely amazing and beautiful, as an example. Or we got an award, and just like, we want to say that the message of the film is really touching and is really unusual way of doing, and we really, really like the film and support it. So this is really amazing, truly amazing.
With the podcast discussion that we're having, Fremantle Shipping News will also post some details. The premiere in Australia is happening in Perth before it goes to Melbourne, Albury, Canberra, Sydney, Newcastle, and Byron Bay. It's going to be well received along the way, I can tell already. It's here on the 26th of February, not far away now, at the Event Cinemas in Innaloo, which local people will know about. And it's interesting. It's all happening at a time, and I think there's a big Buddhist conference starting the day before Mata. So there's going to be a lot of activity on the Buddhist front in Perth.
Yeah, that's true. This is happening, and this is really something. What, yeah, one can say this is also a good connection. It happening in the same time, but it's also, I think it's also nice because you have a kind of international audience connected with the film, and unexpectedly, the film is actually sold out already. So almost sold out in Perth. So it's not bad.
Is
Yeah,
that
so
absolutely
this is, I'm
brilliant?
also excited. You know, with the screenings, one never knows. It is not something one can plan. It is not something, you know, you don't know how it will be received by the audience. And as you already mentioned before, I experienced before, Australia has a huge interest in this Buddhist stories and values, which is amazing.
Well, it wasn't long ago. I was catching an Uber to the airport to travel to Turkiye, and my driver was from Bhutan. We spent a good 40 minutes discussing Buddhism, and it's interesting to know what some of the stats are here. Australians won't be fully aware of this, but there's been a growth in Buddhism nationwide. The 2021 Australian census statistics show that 2.4% of Australians, which is over 600,000 people, identifies Buddhist, making it the fourth largest religion in the country. I mean, that's quite something, isn't it?
It's interesting, isn't it? All these numbers. But I'm not surprised. Also, the Bhutanese community, I'm really excited to meet these people, see these people. We've been also in Bhutan filming there. It's a beautiful country. It's still a Buddhist country, which is amazing. They really managed to keep all this tradition, and they are also protecting very much those places. And also in Australia, I can see there are so many, the free spirit. I think Australia, as far I can perceive it, it's a general thing. The freedom of the mind is quite a value for everyone, not only on the giving space on the outer level, having large space, but also on the inner level, and appreciation for everyone. So I'm not surprised, because Buddhism is about the mind. It's timeless wisdom. It has nothing to do with the culture. Sometimes it has some cultural impact wherever it is practiced, but it's actually more about how we can deal with the mind, with everyday issues, with emotions, and to understand what's going on. So I think somehow it makes sense that some of the Australians are also easygoing with that.
I love a quote I've read about Ole, that you know, he was once a wild young hippie from Denmark who was child declared his ambition to become the quote-unquote Danish champion of mind. And I don't know whether that was before or after he became acquainted with Buddhism, but it's an interesting point you make. And I suppose people who want to understand more about Buddhism will actually learn by going and listening, watching your movie.
I think so. First of all, Ole, he said when he was a kid, so it
Yes.
was absolutely before. But this is also, yeah, it gives a hint. I don't know. You know, I really hope what I wish for everyone who ever watches the film, because it's about life stories. You see, we like, I think generally people like to see true stories, biographies. That's why they are interesting, because one can learn a little bit about other people's experience, other people's life journey, isn't it? If even if it was with challenges, problems, failures, beautiful things, this is where we learn from, we can connect with. So I really hope that people watching this film, and if they can get something out of it and they get inspired, or even if just to see that some people really gave their lives full with idealism for others, how amazing one can go beyond all borders and living comfort zone. And also to see, even if we talk about East and West, actually there is a huge difference. On the other hand, the content, it's just timeless and it's free. So I hope people can pick something, and it's either like it or maybe just create some question in their mind. I think it's important that we also keep thinking and asking questions and a little bit digging deeper, especially our time is so superficial. We get so much information over social media devices, so that one goes and stays in one place and can evaluate a little bit about values of life. So I hope it helps. And also, we have one main topic of the film is dealing with impermanence, with death, and what does it mean according to Buddhist view. And maybe it gives some hints for some people and some help with it.
Well, Mart, you've absolutely whetted my appetite. I think they're obviously both timeless as well as important topics that you mention, and they're the sort of issues that I think people are looking for guidance on or to come to understand better. We live in a fairly turbulent world, I suppose, particularly at the moment.
Exactly. So, well, on one hand, I think the world was always turbulent, isn't it? If we were hunting for food for 7 days to get something warm to eat, or if it's what we are having now. But clearly, our time has its challenges, but also qualities. So it's, on one hand, we have everything. We can really choose what we put our interest in, what we want to learn about, what we want to, where we want to go deeper. But also at the same time, so much information and so much going on, and about so much information, what's going on everywhere in the world, and it can be really a stress factor for many, isn't it? And Buddhist teachings and this timeless teaching really help also with the methods and some simple advices. They are not complicated. Buddhist teachings are actually very simple, because they're supposed to help us to finally breathe out, relax, and just lay back and just chill and understand that we don't need to worry about anything if we can deal with all the movements of our mind, and that we understand that actually love and compassion and fearlessness is our true nature, and joy is actually that what is real, nothing else. So all these teachings are there for there that we find a way to have a more simple, relaxed, meaningful life, to deal with the process of death, and as we Buddhists say, to prepare for the next life that goes even easier and maybe simple way we want to go for. And most important is the freedom of the mind to experience it for oneself and also for the others.
Marta, on that note, freedom of the mind. Thank you very much for joining me today to talk about this documentary movie that you've made that's shortly going to premiere here. When people hear this, they'll be trying to snap up the unsold tickets if there are any left. You might have to do some extra screenings here. But
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
I hope so too. It's been lovely talking to you. Thank you for joining me today on the Shipping News.
Thank you for this wonderful interview. Have a wonderful day, and greetings to everyone. Looking forward to seeing everyone in Perth. Bye bye.